Does he understand that the thing is too sweet? And you'll see him pour schnapps, you know. Shake his head. And down the thing. It's a good life. That is, it's a habit he formed. What am I saying? In the same manner, form a habit, all right, of approving. Go and read Philippians chapter 1, verse 10. Form a habit of doing what? Approving the things that are excellent. It's something you teach yourself. What am I going to explain? Because next time we'll now go into the center of the teaching concerning gifts and callings. We'll take again the discussion from Romans chapter 12, all right, that each person has a gift. Each person has a calling. Are you getting what I'm saying? And then you must learn, that's what point I'm coming to take pleasure in the exercise of your gifts and your calling. It is the world that taught us to make money the measure of success in every way. And I'm saying that believers should stop that. It's not right. It is not right. It is not right. Are you getting my point? The success of your life, what makes you satisfied, must be in line with the calling that God has upon your life. Once you've exercised that, no, please get what I'm saying. Once you have exercised it, do you understand? You will let excitement enter your soul. A time will come, you don't even have to try once you have come to believe it. Because get this point, I say something all the time when I go to preach to people. And it's a matter of fact. Maybe assume this is a church, I'm invited. One of the things I do is I greet everybody. I greet the pastor of the church. Thank him for the opportunity to lengthen my life. That's what I say. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. I thank the person for the opportunity to lengthen my days. That you have given me cause to have my day lengthened again on the earth. That for coming here to bless the people of God, as long as I come there with sincerity and I discharge truth alone to them, God increases the number of days I will stay on this earth. And I'm not joking about that. I tell the story of Kenny Hagin, who the Lord showed up before. And then that this one, you want to die early. I have called you to be a prophet and a teacher. You have neglected or relegated the ministry of the prophet. Therefore, if you continue like this, at the age of 55, you are going to die. There was a man, his followers are still all over town. 1965, he died. Before that, by December 59, the Lord had revealed to a prophet that this man is going to die end of 65. What was the reason? He said he's leading the body of Christ astray. Death is never by accident. You hear what I said? Death is never, ever by accident. What happens is that even what appears like an accident was in accordance with the It will be in accordance with the predetermined judgment of God. Good word there. Judgment. When Saul died, it was a tactical error in battle. But the Bible says that, and Saul died because of the trespass he committed against the Lord. It said the things he did. He said, therefore, God killed him. And you all know how Saul died. He was gravely injured in battle, and then he fell upon his own sword. And he died. And the Bible said, therefore, God killed him. When Ahab was going to die, he died. His own was even a serious accident. Nobody knew Ahab died. You know what happened in this case? He disguised himself and went into the battle as a common man with Jehoshaphat. Before that, Micaiah had come to prophesy that I saw God and spirits in front of him. And God said, who will entice Ahab to go to Ramoth Gilead that he might die there? And the spirit said, I say, what will you do? He said, I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets. And they all came and prophesied. Go, you shall succeed. Go, your breakthrough is this year. Go, you shall prosper. Go. All right. When they went to battle, You know, you have said, lock this guy up until I return victorious. Very fine. The man now took listen to me. He took some defensive strategies. He told Jehoshaphat, you know, you dress up like a king. Me, I just dress like a common soldier. When the soldiers were attacking, their king had told them, listen, don't attack anybody else but the king of Israel, Ahab. The only king they saw around, they attacked him. When they surrounded Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat shouted, said, "Ah, God help me." Those guys heard his voice and looked and said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm Jehoshaphat." "You are not Ahab. Get away." They left him. Why? Because God had not decreed that Jehoshaphat should die. Are you getting the point? Ahab, that was thoroughly disguised as a common soldier. The Bible said one of the Syrian soldiers, one of the archers, you know what an archer, those who fire arrows, he fired an arrow at random. I like that word. If you read the modern translation, he said he fired an arrow at random in the direction of the Israel troops. And that arrow fired at random. You know, if you've seen movies, because you got the way those guys fight, you are far away, they can't aim you. They just shoot into the air. As the arrow is descending, hoping it will meet somebody, as one arrow was landing, it hit Ahab. Listen to where. Ahab was wearing a body armor. The only crack in the armor was where the thing hit, between the shoulder area and the plate on his back. Because there had to be a joint there so the man could move his arms to fight. That was the only place that the thing hit. That is, the guy who killed Ahab never knew he was the one that killed Ahab, because many people were firing. Ahab died by accident, outwardly. But God said, who will entice him to go to Ramoth Gilead that he might die there? Are you getting what I'm saying? That is why when I go to preach, I tell people that, look, for preaching the word of God to you, there's a lengthening of my days. It is not as if we are paying God. No, that's not the issue. The issue is that you are walking in line with divine ordinance. And my food, my long life, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Are you getting the spirit of what I'm trying to say? Are you getting that? That is why it is vital. Listen to me. It is vital you learn to recognize what it is that you are doing, and you'll be walking in a manner pleasing to God. You'll be fulfilling the work of God on the earth. It's very vital. And look, we'll discuss that next time. It's actually automatic. You will walk into it if you remove all the distraction from your eyes. And let people stop trying to explain to you that the only man, the only woman who has succeeded is the one who bought a car 3 years after he got married or after he left school. Quickly, he had the car. All right, he had done this. He had done one. He built a house. He did that. Look at it. The guy is doing well. Listen, nobody, not my friend, not my relations, not my mother, not my wife, nobody will pressurize me into making material or outward worldly success a measure of the amount of success I'm having before God. Nobody. God has helped me. Listen to me. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying I'm there yet. In fact, currently I have a feeling that I have some serious issues to handle. But up till last year, at least I'm certain of one thing. I did what I was supposed to do. No, I'm not joking about that. You know, there's no point trying to be humble and spiritual. Look, listen, Derek Prince said something. Derek Prince said that for 60 years he had been ministering and he can't remember being out of the will of God. So don't think I'm being too smart for myself. Lester Sumrall said the same thing. He said, for 60 years, I can't remember being out of the will of God once. Being out of the will of God doesn't mean that the man never made a mistake. It doesn't mean everything he did was perfect. No, that's not what it means. No. What it means is that every time, he may do his preaching wrongly, but he went to go and preach with sincerity. Are you getting my point? He may have preached in the wrong place for a day, but he went to go and preach, trying to do what God said. And then as soon as he recognized that, no, this may not be perfect, he turned around and went into the center of perfection. Do you follow what I'm saying? No, it is possible. It is possible. For your whole life, that is, you wake up in the morning and there's no condemnation. It's so important. If there's no condemnation in your heart and you are being exposed to truth every day and there's still no condemnation, believe me, it's likely you are right there where God wants you to be. Because as long as you are alive, except God has given up on your stubbornness, he won't let you rest if you are not where he wants to be. Believe me what I'm trying to say. As long as you are a child of God, you are being exposed to truth. You won't sleep well at night if you are not where you are supposed to be. Every time they are preaching like this, there's something that comes to your mind. Once they start preaching, you say, ah, God.
Now, wow.
Nobody's talking about traveling to Kaduna. You get my point? I'm just preaching like this. Oh, you are hearing that this Kaduna is not the will of God. Nobody has said anything. I've not mentioned Kaduna. But all you are hearing is that this Kaduna is not the will of God. You want to go and enter, they say tomorrow, you're going to take a flight to Abuja. From Abuja, you connect to Kaduna. Suddenly, you look at this plane. This plane is going to crash. No, that plane is not planning to crash. It is because your heart is not going. Do you understand my point? The Spirit of God said, no, you ain't going anywhere. Suddenly, start seeing, you see the pilot. Huh? That guy is going to fly the plane. Nothing's wrong with the pilot. Oh. He's the most experienced pilot in the world. But because the Spirit of God has said, this one, you're not going to go. If he sees you, Zubuju, you go there. Sleep at night now, you won't be able to sleep. Then one day you will just, you know, Catherine Kuhlman was a very good example. Catherine Kuhlman married a man. After 6 years, she got up one day, packed her bag, told the man, Oga, how they go? What? Where did they go? Say, I don't know. She took a train heading for anywhere. I don't know, you get the point? You just wake up in the morning, just go to the bus park. Just pay for the bus. You don't even ask where he's going. Say, she's leaving Enugu. Say, yes, yeah. Let me just enter. When the finance, everybody calm down. You say, where are we? Say, you are in Lagos. Then you calm down. That was what she did, though. Something like that. Something very close to that. Because the day she was going to get married, she married a man who she used to preach for. Do you understand? And the man divorced his wife and two children, you know. You know what I mean? Divorced his wife. They had two kids. And claimed that the woman left him. Therefore, he is free to remarry. And everybody told Catherine Kuhlman, don't marry this guy. Don't marry this guy. She said, yeah, okay. Nobody said anything. Oh, they couldn't stop her. Unfortunately, the day of the wedding, all her friends had left her. Everybody. People say, what the wife really left? Say, look, there's a difference between the wife who just left a man and the one who couldn't stand this, your romance with this single preacher, and decided to give you space. Cut the long story short, that ended her ministry. She was a vibrant preacher. People liked her. That was the end of the ministry. It's a pity. Now, people say that don't judge people. I'm not judging people. All right? But I think there was more discipline those days in that country than they have now. Yes, I try not to, but that's a matter of fact. It's this is that you have a preacher, divorce his wife on Monday. The following week, he married another one, and church is as full as usual. Listen, before in America, look, when Bob Tilton divorced his first wife, nobody talked. When he divorced his second one, the church dropped from 5,000 to 500 in one service. Last service, they were 5,000. The next service, they were 500. They say, Pastor, I beg, we know we are bad, but we don't try. You divorce the first one, we will not talk. The second one, wait, something's wrong. They had a lot of discipline. Her ministry closed. For 6 years, she struggled. In fact, she said that, when I go and read the story, Daughter of Destiny, the night of the wedding, that is, after the wedding, she got up and ran back to her friends, but they were no longer there. They had gone. All of, and you don't blame them. They said, what this girl has done is not the right thing. There's nothing we can do. They all left her. For 6 years, she lived with the guy. He called him Mister. I don't know his full name. And after 6 years, she got up, told the guy, say, see, I can't continue like this anymore. As far as God is concerned, I'm not married. Now, I'm adding my own words to it. I don't have a life. I don't have a ministry. I have given up everything for one man. Is he God? And God doesn't even consider that I'm married to him. She packed her bag and said, thank you very much. Bye-bye. She made that choice. Are you getting me? Not knowing where she was going. And then God picked her up from there and became the Catherine Kuhlman that we can sit down in Nigeria now and be talking about her. More than almost 30 years after she had died. Now, you get what I'm saying? I just use that to illustrate something. That people who really want to walk with God, all right? They will know. No, the Holy Spirit won't let you rest. We're not talking about, hey, should I eat breakfast or not eat breakfast? It's not that kind of will of God I'm talking about. We discussed that one last time when we were talking about a life of grace. Can you remember that? But now I'm talking about gifts and callings. Why was I born? Why am I alive? What does God want me to do? Those are important questions you must ask. And you must seek to answer. Do you understand my point? You must seek to follow that order. Because if you do it, every other thing will be added unto you. Don't let the world, please, hear it. Don't let them give you their own standard of what success is. By now your mates have married and they have 5 children. By now they have bought car. Ah, that guy is doing well. What do you mean he's doing well? One day I ask somebody, how is this brother? This is the brother that then we're still in, plenty in center of faith. The visions he had for ministry, we knew about it. Finally, this was many years ago. He decided he was going abroad. Changed his name. When the thing didn't work out, you should know when God is obstructing your motion. When the thing did not work out, finally he went away with a fake name. That is, bought a visa and passport and everything. You should know when God is not with you. You should know. You should know. If suddenly you can no longer be Chukwubike, you will now be Jackson Bright. You should know that God didn't send you. You don't need anybody to tell you. If you have to go there and say, are you married? Say, yes, I have 17 children. You should know God didn't send you. When you have to hide your qualifications and your certificate, you should know God didn't send you. When your friends call you and say, ah, Chibaik, how not? My name is Jackson. You should know God didn't send you. I asked a sister once, I said, ah, so I'm surprised. He said, he's doing well. I said, how do you know? He said, he sent 2 cars home last month. I looked at her and said, if I take hammer now and knock your head, he said, I have become wicked. Is that a sign of doing well? You send car. Look, you know, you can get a free car in America. Yeah, you can. I'm not joking about that. My wife's uncle one day came to visit us in Enugu here. He lives in the US. One day, he said he had a car. One day, he got out of the car. It was an old car. He tried to sell it. Nobody agreed to buy it. He tried to give it out. Nobody agreed to take it. Then finally, he drove it out, drove it down to a junkyard. They made him pay money before they collected the car. Now, you don't get what I'm saying. He tried to sell it. Nobody bought. He tried to give it out. Nobody took. Finally, he had to pay to dispose of the car. And the car was, he drove it to the place. You like send 17 cars home. It's not a sign that you are doing well at all. Ignoramuses may think so. Do you understand my point? Yes, they may. But the God who sent you to this earth, when he wants to judge you, he won't check the number of cars you sent home. He will bring the book and say, where did we say he should be? And you know, those days people thought obeying God meant going into missions. You go to the center of the Mambila Plateau and go and evangelize the yet not contracted tribes. You know what I'm saying? Become a missionary in the bush. Being a missionary in the bush is a good thing. You get my point? Yes. Being a missionary in the bush is what? Is a good thing. But that's not necessarily what a call is. There's a story I read many years ago. Say one man for a long time, he started drinking. Started doing all kinds of bad things. Became an alcoholic. Say why? Because he didn't want to go to church. The only reason why he's doing all of this is because he didn't want to go to church. Say, because if I become normal, I'll go to church. You don't know what's worrying people in life. So anytime he sees church, he will run. Go to the bar nearby. I need to tell God I'm not coming. Buy drink. Drink. Use all his money anyhow. Wreck everything. Finally, one day, he got tired of running around. He finally went back to church and said, God, now, wow, I'm very sorry I have come back. Okay. If you want me to go to China, I will go. All his life, he thought God was calling him as a missionary to China, and he said he wasn't going to go to China. So he ran away from church, started getting drunk, so that God won't remember to send him to China. He's very funny. So finally, after he dedicated his life to Christ, he now said, okay, dear Lord, I'm going to go to China, if that's what you want. And a voice inside him said, you are not going to go to China, but I wanted you to be willing to go. There's a difference. Did God send him to China? No. Maybe God did not even call him into ministry. He thought that God was calling him to ministry. So the man was running. Finally, God said, okay, now you have dedicated your life, very fine. But as for that China, I'm not sending you there. That is, if 6 years ago, because the guy was in that drunken wilderness for 6 years, if 6 years ago he had agreed to obey God, his life would have had direction. That's bringing a lot of people. Obey the will of God. Obey the call of God upon your life. They think that you are saying that, go and start a church. And because you have seen pastors who preach for money, and they have said, no, I will not do this. And out of the righteousness of their hearts, when you say come to church, they are not coming. You know why? Surrender all. No, see, I grew up as a child, very young, when people were still singing that song a lot. I surrender, or every time. Then, so that the idea is that, oh, you know, people are hearing, oh God, the young women say, ah, I surrender all. I surrender all. No, you get my point? You remove the Yeti on the left, the Yeti on the right, tear off the chain, I surrender all. You clean all the, you know, all the makeup. I surrender all. Wash my face. I surrender all. You cut your hair all so that the natural hair can grow back. I surrender all. Look your skirt. Look your trousers. First, come on the trousers, throw it out, tie it up. I surrender all. I surrender all. So a lot of people are afraid to surrender all because all they are thinking about is, ah, God, next time I break my mirror, I mustn't look at the mirror again because I won't recognize myself. I surrender all. Now, listen, I've had this discussion with somebody before. Was that the thing that was right to do? No. But if that was the season and you were not willing to do it, probably you were not willing to surrender anything. Are you getting my point? A lot of people who surrendered, they have bought new earrings. You know, God has given them new earrings now. Those days they were costume jewelry. Now they are pure gold. I mean, God has blessed them over the years. What I'm trying to say is that the willingness of heart that was willing to do that. All right. But the point I'm making is that a lot of people thought they still think that's what you mean by surrendering all. No. They still think that's what it means to obey the call of God. The call of God does not necessarily mean you will go to church and become a pastor. They will now send you, you know, you're a big manager before. They now send you to one bush to go and start a branch of Redeemed Christian Church of God on 6,000 naira a month salary as a pastor. And you are afraid. Let me tell you the truth. Just obey the word of God. In everyday thing, the very thing that God wants you to do, He will put the desire for it in your heart. I don't know whether you get my point. This is the third time I'm preaching today. You think I'm angry? No, this is the third message I'm preaching today. Each one of them about 1 to 1.5 hours each. If I eat time, I'll stand here for close to 2 hours sometimes. You think I'm angry? No. Do you think I'm tired? Believe me. I get physically tired a bit. I eat, I'm refreshed. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to be back here recording because I have to record for TV and record for radio. I'll go for first service in my church. After that, I'll be back here. And for those of us who are doing seats, we're going to be back here again in the evening, beginning from 2:30. Think I'm angry? No. Believe me, I'm having the time of my life. I'm having fun. I'm enjoying this more than Hamilton inside his Formula One cars. Believe me, I'm enjoying myself. Tiger Woods is not having as much fun playing golf as I'm having right now. Are you getting what I'm saying? The center of the will of God is good. Obeying God's call for your life is fantastic. Believe me, it even brings down your blood pressure. I'm telling you, all the pimples on your face will disappear. Because the kind of stress you're having now is because God didn't put you there. Any job you are going to every day and you are frowning, take leave first. Go and pray and fast for 1 week. Say, God, what am I doing here? Any job you won't do smiling, there's a problem. Are you getting my point? What have I further described today? Let's learn satisfaction. Let's learn to be happy. Next time I'll begin to deal about that from that Romans chapter 12. We have gifts, all right? We have grace that, how does it go again? We have grace that differ according to the gifts. Is it gifts that differ according to the grace? Anyway, something differs according to the other. You get what I'm saying? Therefore, he said, let us exercise them accordingly. That is the first place you will face in knowing what God wants you to do in life. I can't remember the day God... Look, I had visions, I had dreams. When I say visions now, dreams of the night, dreams when I, you know, visions of the night, that is dreams when I was 7 and all of that. That gave me direction concerning what I had to do. But before then, I just loved to teach. I loved to preach. And I enjoyed doing it, and I'm still enjoying it. That's where you start from. Are you getting my point? I said something last time, let me just emphasize it again. Ministry is not only in church. Because we have taught so much that it is, that I need to keep on, you know, on learning it out of our hearts. Ministry is not always only in church. Did I hear an amen? Amen? Ministry is everywhere. Please, did I hear that everywhere? Everywhere. Ministry is what? Everywhere. Ministry is where? It's everywhere. Listen, there are those who will be customs officials by calling. Are you getting my point? Some of you will become politicians. It's a calling. You are going to be. Some will join the army. Some will be policemen. Some will be teachers. Some are businessmen by calling. Some are preachers by calling. Some are architects by calling. Builders by calling. Tile layers by calling. Painters by calling. I'm not joking about that. Go and see the building of the tabernacle in the wilderness. You will know that nobody was there by chance. Nobody. 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 Nobody was there by chance. God knew them by name. He will call Moses. See that guy. This is his name. Go and call him. It's another guy to call the 12 of them. They will lead the team. They will teach the other people. So there are men that are put inside their hearts to do these things. There are those who are road builders by calling. You will build a road that even when we want to dig, they won't be able to dig it up. How much more? The thing just spoiled by itself. No, get what I'm saying? There are those who have the calling and the wisdom to do that. And that's what God wants us to do. He doesn't want all of us coming to church. On Sunday, everybody's a preacher. On Monday, nobody believes in God. You follow what I'm saying? Listen, for some of you, your pulpit and your congregation is concrete and stones and iron rod. That is when you come out on Monday, it is where they are pouring concrete that you are the pastor. Your assistant pastors are truck drivers and what do you call this thing? Heavy machinery operators. Those are your assistant pastors. Your congregation, gutter, iron rod, cement, granite, roofing sheet, nail, hammer. Those are your congregation. Some of you, your congregation, they are criminals. If you're a policeman, you must catch the thief. I'm telling you, some of you, your congregation are the teachers in your state. You must pay them on time. Some of you, your congregation is the whole nation. You're a president. And you cannot be a president of Christians. In your country, there are Muslims. Are you getting what I'm saying? And you're a president of Muslims. So let those of us who are pastors or Christians alone do our job. It is the simplest job. Everybody agrees with you. You know that? And those who don't agree, God will be angry with them. Everybody here must believe in Christ. Amen? Amen. And they are not here, except that they believe that I'm anointed to teach. Why would they come? But when you become president, you can be sure that 48% did not vote for you. You see what I'm saying? You have congregation that don't believe in you. You need to pray. You follow what I'm saying? And it's a calling, it's a ministry. I hope you get to my point. I hope you've got to my point. We'll develop that one further next time. Let us pray. Let's just give the Lord thanks quickly. Let us be out of here. Let's give him thanks. Let's say, Father, we thank you. We worship you. You are good.